Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Making Of podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ashley Hovez, and I'm super stoked to welcome my guest today. I'm actually interviewing a real life TV star, and I think I am more nervous about this episode than I've been in a while, just because I've watched seasons 1, 2, and 3, and you guys are in for a treat. He is an orthodontist based out of Nashville, Tennessee. As soon as I found out he was an orthodontist, I messaged him on Instagram right away. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But a quick overview, Dr. Bryce Gilliam, he is a first generation dentist graduating from Meharry Medical College School of Dentistry, and he became an orthodontic specialist at Howard University in Washington, D.C. He opened his solo ortho practice, Elevation Orthodontics, in 2019 in Nashville. As a side hustle, he and his adorable, gorgeous wife, Brooke, own a construction company called Deep South Modern, where she is a builder and he is the designer. All of this appears on their hit home renovation, Making Modern with Brooke and Bryce, seasons 1, 2, and 3 on the Magnolia Network, which I think you already said. Yeah, I'm just nervous. So without further ado, guys, welcome to the show, Dr. Bryce. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
You're lying.
No, I'm just kidding. I feel like I was trying to make this work out, but my schedule never ended up working out. And now that I finally am here, I'm so excited.
No, I'm really excited. And in fact, Bryce and I have been in touch for a while now. And as you guys know, or if you've been a longtime listener of the show, I recently built our second location. And before anything got into motion, I actually messaged Bryce and I said, like, hey, you're a designer and you're also a dentist. Do you ever come, like, go out of state to help design, like, maybe my next dental practice? And you said you guys don't do commercial, right?
Yeah. So you're either kind of grouped into commercial or residential. And at the time, you know, we were, our wheels are spinning. I was trying to do everything I could to help from the design standpoint. Yeah. But I wanted to do it so bad and come out there and help. And, you know, I like being on the West Coast.
Anytime you want to take a trip to Cali, we would love to host you. And and I'm glad you actually didn't take on my project, because it actually took 2 years from start to finish. So, yeah, that would have been a very long episode.
That's right.
So besides your quick overview of your dental background, Bryce, what is something that maybe most listeners or most even viewers don't know about you?
Yeah, so I would normally lead with, you know, you don't know that I'm an orthodontist, or you don't know that I'm a designer. But maybe one of the things that you don't know about me is I'm a really quiet person. I'm an only child. So since I'm an only child, I'm used to being by myself a lot. And so I'm super quiet. And then I guess on the show and then here at the office, you see that I'm very outgoing. I'm very excited. And which is a little bit different than how I am and how I normally live my normal life.
Wow. Before we hit record, I actually told Bryce that I was like stalking him on Instagram just to make sure I had all of my, you know, I was doing my due diligence for this episode. And there are a lot of similarities. And since you just mentioned you're an only child, I'm also an only child. And I am married to an only child. And now we have 3 children who are very not quiet. So our lives are very different.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, it's wild. Can you walk us through? So because this is mostly a dental startup podcast, can you walk us through your ortho journey? Like, can you share the story behind Elevation Orthodontics, including where you got that name?
Yeah. So, all right, this is actually really cool. So when I first got out of residency in 2015, I went right into a group practice that had multiple locations. It was a pedo ortho practice. So, you know, half of the building was dedicated to pediatrics, half of it was dedicated to ortho. And one of the things that kept coming up is when I would talk to parents, they would always say, "Hey, I would love to get my teeth straightened, but I don't necessarily want to get it done sitting next to a 10-year-old." And I understood that, but it didn't seem like it was that big a deal to me. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, 6 months later, after I keep having these conversations over and over again, I meet one of my friends out and he's going through, you know, orthodontic treatment. I'm giving him all the praise. I'm saying, "I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy that you're doing this." And he was like, "You know, dude, it's really challenging because I'm, you know, feeling self-conscious about this." And then I go to the orthodontist and he tells me the story. And he says, "I was sitting in the chair in the open bay, and this 10-year-old looks over to me and says, 'Dude, aren't you a little old to be here?'" And, you know, it's kind of cute, it's kind of funny, but to him, you know, he's already struggling with this insecurity about, you know, going through orthodontic treatment as an adult. And then this kid kind of throws shade on him, and it makes him like even feel less secure about the whole situation. So I was like, why can't there be a practice that is dedicated to adults, a place that they can go, they can have a doctor that they can communicate with, have a collaborative approach, but in a nice environment made for them?
You know, I think it is genius. And honestly, like when I first saw that your ortho practice was only serving adults, I was like, that is so unique. Like you never hear an orthodontist like that is catered to adults only. And I was like, I wonder where that came from. So thank you. I mean, I never even thought of that. Like you're absolutely right. If you're an adult and you're sitting next to all these kids getting their brackets and like all the rubber bands changed out, and like there's a goodie bag and like all sorts of cool, fun prizes for kids, and you're like a professional, it really there's it doesn't make sense. So I mean, how did that impact like how fast your growth was as an adult only orthodontist?
So let me say this. Whenever I would talk to any of my friends, any of my dental professional people, they would all say, "Oh, that's a dumb idea." That's like they would all be like, "Oh, it's a dumb idea because you're losing too much of the pie, right?" And I kept thinking like, "Yeah, I get it, but there's a need for this." I mean, we had D DIY orthodontics that were happening because orthodontists weren't giving the patients what they needed. They didn't give them the convenience. They didn't give them the, and I say they, we didn't give them the convenience that they wanted, the aesthetics approach to it. And so this was a, in my mind, a no-brainer. So we, you know, we opened and we opened to a lot of fanfare. I mean, we really did because it's so unique. But then there's a little bit of a lull that happens because, you know, you get that initial wave of patients, but now we're having to kind of redefine who orthodontic treatment is for. We all know it's for kids. We all hear that every single day. But a lot of adults still think that it's for teenagers and children. And so we had to kind of rebrand orthodontics in our area.
That is amazing. And are you still the only orthodontist who caters to adults in your area?
In the area, absolutely. I've actually heard of two or three popping up around the country, which is cool. Maybe they've gotten some inspiration from me, or maybe they thought it was a great idea and they were just waiting for someone else to try to see if they could be successful at it. I don't know, but I'm glad to see that it's kind of catching legs and growing.
That is super awesome. And man, way to like stand out in your niche. Like that is talk about what is it, blue ocean strategy?
That's right. That's
That's
right.
really cool. Now, how has that impacted your relationships with your general dentists?
So, this is one of the things that I felt like I probably didn't do a great job when I initially started. I thought that the general dentists were not going to refer to me because we do similar things. I do Invisalign, they do Invisalign. I thought that they would assume that I was trying to kind of in take their patients, I guess. And that's not the case. You know, you build these relationships with general dentists, and if a general dentist is doing Invisalign, great, that's fine. There's enough for everyone. And then there's also that the idea that, you know, some of these general dentists don't actually want to do the harder cases. So if they don't know me, if they don't build a relationship with me, they're never going to refer to me. So that was a fallacy that I had in my mind when I first started, that, you know, maybe I'm going to have to just do this all by myself. And you know, now going back, those relationships are the most important part.
So, speaking of your origin story, I'm just going to tell everyone too, in case, because you don't know this, you probably don't know this, but my situation was also extremely similar. I started out working in a multi-location pedo office, pedo ortho office, as I'm a general dentist. But when I moved back home to California, I wasn't really impressed with a lot of the associateships that were available at the time. So I love kids. I act like a kid most of the time. And I was working as an associate, and the patient's parents, I should say, would always ask us, like, do you see adults here? Like, you guys have a lot of fun and we are terrified of the dentist. So same thing. Like, I was like, I wonder if we could make a general dental office that is upscale, but also super casual and fun. And like, why not like dance in the hallway? So that's where Smiling Co came from. So pretty cool.
I love it.
Thanks. Okay. So going back, because you are a first generation dentist. Now, most of the time, I mean, it takes a very special person, right, to get into this field. What was it about dentistry that made you want to be a part of it?
So I'm going to give the answer that I feel like a lot of people give. And it's like, I was actually artistic. So I really like to create with my hands. And it was something that I could blend the medicine or, you know, yeah, medicine and art together. And it made sense. But also, I felt like dentistry gave me the best opportunity to live a really great lifestyle, right? You're not necessarily on call. You don't have to, it's not necessarily life or death. And you get to fix something. You're not passing medicines. You are giving them hope that you can fix it in that day, in that month, in that week, or whatever. And I think that that's just something that's really amazing about our profession.
Agreed. Agreed. And thank goodness we're not on call, right? Like,
that's right.
Okay. So as an orthodontist and entrepreneur, how do you balance clinical excellence with managing a business?
So I think that this is always going to be the struggle for me. Everything has kind of come pretty easy for me in my life. Like, sports were easy, high school, college, even dental school was pretty easy. And I'm not saying that to brag, I'm saying that to preface the next comment. And the next comment or the next statement is, owning my business is the hardest thing that I've ever done. And it's, you know, when it's good, you're trying to think about how to keep momentum going. When it's bad, you're constantly worried about how I can make it better. And it has this really unique way of humbling you no matter where you're at on that journey. And it's also something that you don't get taught, right? Like, so in dental school, clinically, we are taught, right? Mm-hmm. And so all we're doing our whole entire career is just refining how to be better. We're refining the techniques and processes. But then in business, you're learning it as you're in it. That's right. Where the challenge becomes real. And then also, you know, you're dealing with people, whether it's your team or it's the clients. That adds another layer of complexity on it too. So, I mean, I really struggled at first with that. Luckily for me, I had the show going, so it kind of took some of the worry out of my mind because I had to worry about something else. So,
and okay, so I will echo everything that you just said. The dentistry is the easiest part. Like, it's the freaking business and managing people and all of that. How big is your team now?
So I have six people, which I want to be small. I don't want this office to be big and chaotic. I want everyone to know, you know, everyone's name. I want them to be able to say, hey, Miss Shelby, I need this. Or, hey, Miss Shelby, can I change my appointment to this time? Or, hey, Miss Abby, you know, I want these personal relationships. And so we are very planned on how we grow.
No, I love that so much. Like, before I was thinking, like, let's just get bigger, bigger, bigger. But at the end of the day, it's chaotic and the overhead feels like suffocating.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than having overhead. And then, you know, like with GPs, we have a lot of expenses, right? Because we have like lab bills on top of having to stock for every procedure. And I mean, our months, they ebb and flow. I don't know if it's similar with ortho, because you like, everybody knows that they're coming to you because they want a certain procedure. Does that make it easier for your overhead?
Yeah. So that, honestly, that's what you're saying is one of the reasons that I didn't want to just be a general dentist, because I thought that it was so much that you had to manage and learn and know and continue to be good at, that I felt like I couldn't do it. I felt like I needed to specialize where I could focus in on one thing. But to your point, yes, we have those ebbs and flows too. Most people know when they come into my office for a consultation what they want and why they're here. So we don't have to do a lot of extra like work to convince them, like, hey, you know, your teeth aren't straight. Well, they knew that because they're here. And so for us, it's a little bit easier. But we only do a couple of procedures. So we don't have that big broad net like you guys have, which sometimes can kind of hurt us.
Yes. Oh my. So before I thought about just like being a general dentist, I love the cosmetic side of it. I love like smile makeovers and all of that. But I also wanted to be an orthodontist. I actually had braces for 7 years. I had every appliance known to man, all the rubber bands, and I was supposed to wear that god awful neck gear mm-hmm. to school. I was like, that is not going to happen. So I had braces, Bryce, from sixth grade, and I got them off my second year of college.
Wow, that's a long time. I mean, that's a long time. That was a true ortho experience that you went through there.
And then I didn't wear my retainers, so I put myself in Invisalign. Yeah,
so, of course you didn't. So to be quite honest with you, that's probably 70% of our patient population is people who have already had treatment and failed to comply with the retention program. And so, you know, 30 years ago, we used to just kind of be like, oh yeah, just wear your retainers for, you know, 6 months after you're done, and then just sleep in them periodically. Well, now we know that it's a little bit more complex than that. We're going to look for lifelong retention. So there's going to be some type of retainer that needs to be worn throughout life. And that's really what I tell my patients now, because I say, I don't want you to ever have to do this again. This is the one and done with me. And I don't want you to have to come in here. You know, I'm willing to treat you again, but let's save some money and not do it again.
No, I love that. I like set the tone right out of the gate. Like, we have, oh my gosh. Okay. So I also do Invisalign in my practices, and there will be, no matter how many times you tell the patient, you need to wear your retainers, like you need to wear them. They're like, oh, I thought we were done. Like, oh my gosh. In complete relapse in a year, 2 years, like, okay. But I digress. This is about you.
No. I think you're spot on. And here's how I preface it. Maybe this will help. So when we do the initial exam, I say, hey, look, when we get done with these things, we're going to give you some retainers. They're going to feel a lot like your Invisalign. You're used to wearing them now. So just continue to do that. Like there's, don't get into the habit of not wearing them because you'll get used to not wearing them. But since you've got aligners in now, it's going to be so easy for you to continue to sleep in these bad boys. And then I'll also say, now remember this also, if we moved your teeth in 12 months this direction, how quickly do you think they're going to go back to their old home?
And that kind of starts
to click in their mind. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's right. If we moved them this way and it took 12 months, I bet they'll go back pretty quick, too. So that's my little trick.
That's a good tip. No, I'm totally using that. Thank you. I want to go back to the opening of your startup because you opened at a very crazy time. Can you walk us through your experience with your startup, Bryce?
Yeah. So I opened in the best time possible. So in 2019, November is when I opened my office. So November and December are typically pretty low months for production with ortho because, you know, Christmas is coming right around the corner. Then 2020 comes, and that's a great year just all the way around. March, I think it was March 3rd, we had a tornado in Nashville. And it literally like tore the whole entire area where the office is down. The office was standing, which was great, but we couldn't physically get to the building for about 4 weeks because power lines were down and things like that. So, you know, I've got this infancy of a practice that hasn't been getting care for an entire month. Okay. We come back for 2 days and then COVID happens and we have to stop working for 6 weeks. So this practice has been closed for longer than it has been actually opened. So then, you know, now it's more like the midsummer fall when we really start going again, it feels like it's another grand opening. So it was very challenging. Those are things that I used to hang my hat on. Well, if we can make it through that, we should be able to make it through anything. And it was tough, but you know, we're here now and we're successful. So it's really nice.
So at the time when all of this was happening, I don't know how it was in Nashville, but were you still on the hook for paying like your lease and all of that?
Yeah. And that's something that I guess I never thought of because it had never happened before. Right. And so you don't plan for stuff that you've never heard about. And, At the time, again, I didn't have a lot of money coming in because I was a new practice, but all of those bills were going out. So at the time, let's just say my expenses were 80. No, no, not 80. Not 80 then. It was, you know, $30,000 a month or something like that. Well, $30,000 and you're bringing in zero. You can only, you know, do that for so long. And luckily, you know, I had built up a little nest egg just in case, you know, something happened. But all of the bills came due. My landlord, they did this thing where they moved my rent, but they just pushed it back a couple of months. And for some reason in my mind, whenever I agreed to it, I thought that they were going to add it to the end of my lease term. Like it was just going to be an additional couple of months of my lease term. But instead they moved it a couple of months and then they were like, hey, we need all that money you owe us like 2 months down the road. And I was just like, okay. So, that was very, very difficult, very, very stressful times. But you know, I guess everybody was kind of dealing with the same.
I can't even believe we lived through 2020. Like what a crazy time to be alive, right? Like they're going to write history books about that. And they're going to show pictures of everybody smiling with their masks on. Like,
that's right.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy. I'm just glad we're finally back to normal, I guess, whatever normal.
The new normal.
Yeah. The new normal. So you're an orthodontist and you are working how many days a week in your private practice?
So I work 2.5 days here, which it's really supposed to be 3 days here. So Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. But we found that a lot of people won't show up to their Friday evening appointments. Yeah. So we just kind of shrink that down into a half a day on Friday. And then I work as an associate still, 1.5 days a week. And the reason I do that is solely for a decompression day. I can go and I can just be the orthodontist. I don't have to be the janitor. I don't have to be, you know, the boss. I don't have to be all of the other hats that I wear in my own private practice. I don't have to be those. I can literally just go in there and treat patients. And so that is my decompression day. And then whatever, however many days are left after that, I'm doing design build stuff with Brooke.
I have to laugh, Bryce, because my decompression day is not around dentistry. You actually choose to go work as an associate someplace else, which is, you know, a lot of people just will play golf. Yeah. No, you're still being a doctor, which is kudos to you, because I mean, you must really love ortho to go in.
So it's honestly, it's really fun to me to, ortho is, I guess, has been my dream. So like, you know, if you're doing your dream, it doesn't seem as much like work. I think, like, again, if you take the business part out of it, it's great. It's fun. The business is what's the stressful part. And then, you know, the only times that it becomes a burden are when we have these deadlines to meet with the TV show and the filming and the construction part. That's when all of this, it meets together and it's just like, oh my gosh, what have I gotten myself into?
Oh, okay. So now I really want to get into the meat and potatoes of this, because I feel like the dentists who are graduating now, a lot of them are, you know, they want to be a dentist. Obviously, they want to either do like a solo practice or they want, you know, multi-location. But I think the common thing that a lot of the docs are looking for is a side hustle. Like, we all know that multiple streams of income is, especially with what happened with COVID, like we couldn't work with our hands. And these people who are influencers are still, you know, bringing in the dough. Walk us through how, like, the making of Deep South Modern happened, along with, like, how did you get in touch with anyone in, like, the TV networks? I guess just the origin story of that whole side of the story.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it brief because it's a really organic story, but it ends up being long. So Brooke and myself, we were building our house and we had a poor building experience with our contractor at the time. So we kind of parted ways because he was building something. His expectations were not being met of what he was building, and our expectations were not being met of what was being built either. So we just kind of parted ways. And Brooke oversaw the job site. We didn't have any skills. We didn't know what we were doing. But what would happen is she would hang around the job all day long and work with the subs. She would see the people laying the hardwood floors. She would ask if, you know, they would teach her. And they're not used to having a lady on the job site. So they were like, yeah, sure, we want to teach you. Then so she would learn a little bit more. And so every night I would get off work, we would meet at the house and we would work on building our own house. Like, we were out there in the dark building our house. And we did this for months and months and months. And so our neighbors around the neighborhood, I guess it's redundant, but our neighbors started to rally behind us. They would bring us food over. They would ask if we needed anything. And then once we finally got finished, they were so excited for us. And we got a small community and it was great. Well, one of those neighbors was friends with a TV producer that used to work at Good Morning America, and she was moving to Nashville, and she was like, you need to meet this lady. And so, you know, we met her, she came over to the house and we were hanging out just as friends. And she would ask, oh, Brooke, who made this? And Brooke would be like, oh, we did. And she would be like, who made this art? And Brooke would be like, oh, we did. And so this just kept happening over and over again. And long story short, she said, hey, can I bring a film crew and film a sizzle? And we didn't know what a sizzle was. The first thing I said, it says, does it cost me money? And she was like, no. And then, you know, next things happened and she asked if we, you know, she could pitch it to some networks. And then we had meetings with a couple of networks. And then that's how that whole entire story happened. It is very organic. We just kept saying, sure. We never anticipated having a show. We never sought after it. We just kept saying, sure. And it, you know, three seasons later, this is where we're at.
Three seasons later. Oh my gosh. What a crazy story. That is awesome. And wow, that's okay. So what does your schedule, like, what does it look like now between like filming versus, because I know, is she doing medical sales still?
Yep. So Brooke is still a full-time pharmaceutical sales rep. So how it typically works, I'm off every other Monday. That's when we'll do an early morning breakfast and me and her will go over construction stuff. Typically we do construction stuff early in the morning before she has to get ready for work. And I have to get ready for work. And then she will go and do her pharma job. I will go and do ortho. Of course, we're communicating, you know, over lunch about what's going on. And then that's what happens throughout the week. After we get home every night, we talk about a little construction stuff, but not a lot. We're trying to balance stuff where we can have just time together. And then on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're filming, right? So all weekend, what we're doing is we're doing 12-hour days filming. But this is the thing that is always like people forget. We film, but we're also having to build the stuff as well. So the camera crew may be doing 12 hours and they will leave, but we are still tasked with completing the project. So we're still there. And you know, there, you won't know this, but a lot of times whenever you're looking at that final reveal, when they're doing that pretty pan shot, we're like, we've just told the clients, hey, don't touch any of the paintings because they're still wet, because we're pushing all the way up to the last minute.
Oh my gosh, that is freaking wild. So you're, I mean, for being an introvert, like you said, you're shy in the beginning, like, how has that been for you, like just being on camera? Like how did it take a long time to get adjusted to having people following you around with cameras?
It did. I remember the very first time that they came to film. It was the most awkward thing I've ever experienced in my life. And I still, to be honest with you, it's cringy to me to walk like down my stairs and hear a commercial that's me and Brooke. I'm still like, oh gosh, it sounds so terrible. But it's, you know, you start to build relationships with the people behind the camera. So like the cameraman or the sound guy, and they become your friends because you're with them and you're going through very, very high stress times with these people. And you start becoming like a friends and family, right? And so then it becomes so much easier. And then eventually you just forget that the cameras are there. You forget that you have a mic on, you know, they're trying to mic you up and you're walking around because you're doing other things. And it's just, this is becomes part of your life, which we are so blessed. And you know, for those stressful times, it was a really cool experience.
That is, I mean, are you guys already into season four?
So we've kind of taken a step back just because we've got to catch our breath. Again, there's so many things that we miss out on. Family, you know, vacations, even little things like, I mean, I say little things, but like just being with our family is one thing that we have to sacrifice. And you know, we have nieces and nephews and they're growing up and we would love to make sure that we get to be a part of their life. And really, you know, lean into my grandparents and things like that too.
That's I'm tired just listening to your schedule. That is so much. That's really cool though. Like, have you met the Gaines, Chip and Joanna? Have you met them?
We have. You know, that was a big thing for us, to be a part of their network with people that were genuine. What you see on TV with them is exactly who they are. Chip is exactly that. Joanna is exactly that. They're great people. They have the biggest hearts that you've ever seen. And we talked to them, you know, early on, you know, at the time it was 2020. So we were doing some Zoom calls with them, but then we went out to Waco and spent some time with them and they're great people. Brooke was fangirling, which I've never seen her do ever. But it was so funny to see her so excited. It was a great, great experience. I love it. And they're great people.
So cool. I mean, You guys, if you don't know the show Making Modern, I mean, I subscribe to, it's on Peacock, right? No, it's on Magnolia Network.
Magnolia, it's on HBO Max, which is now just Max. And then it's also on Discovery Plus.
Yes. Okay. So I basically signed up for Discovery Plus just so that I could continue to watch your show, because I'm a fangirl of you both, just FYI. And you guys, if you're not already watching Making Modern, it's so cool. Like, just seeing the designs that Bryce comes up with and then that Brooke builds, which is, I mean, it's so cool. Bryce, okay, so you're very talented. Like, do you have any training with design, or does this all just come naturally for you?
Honestly, it comes natural, and I don't really know where it comes from. Me and Brooke talk about this often. The things that I want, and the reason that this kind of started, is because I would ask Brooke to make something that was not out yet. Like, I wanted this certain look, and we couldn't find it anywhere. People always say, oh, you save so much money by, you know, kind of doing all these, doing your house yourself. And I was like, well, no, we just couldn't find what we wanted. And so now it's funny, because it's been 6 years since we built our house or something like that. But those things that I was looking for, that I had Brooke create 6 years ago, are now like the things that are really popular. And so I've always had this like natural ability to be just slightly ahead of the curve. And I think that that's paid off.
I think it's paid off huge. And it's really cool to see, or I should say, like, how do you think that has served you in the ortho side? Because you've created a really cool ortho space as well.
Yeah, I think if you look at it from the ortho standpoint, I mean, I think I'm slightly ahead of the curve with the adult only orthodontic practice. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are some difficulties when you are an early adopter or you're an innovator, because you have to figure out some of the stuff that are unexpected problems or things that you wouldn't know because no one else is really doing them. So that's one of the things that I try to remind myself, that if you're going to do something great, if you're going to create something new, there are going to be some problems. There are going to be some stumbling blocks along the way. But the reward is so much better than those little hiccups.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So where do you see yourself in 5 years? Or like, what is the ultimate plan or exit strategy, or maybe not even exit strategy, since you decompress by being an orthodontist? Where do you see Bryce and Brooke in a few years?
That's a great question. I think this is one of the things that if you ask me, it's so much different than Brooke, because Brooke is a worker. Brooke likes to work and do. She doesn't like to, you know, think outside the box or dream, I guess, is a better thing. I see ourselves with Brooke and Bryce. I mean, you know, it depends on which way she wants to go. If she wants to blow this thing out of the water and have a construction company that we're doing a bunch of homes each year, then great. I see that can be very successful. I see that if she wants to just do a couple of homes every year and they're just really fun, really detailed homes, great. That we can do that too. I think that the sky's the limit when you have a partner like Brooke, as far as with the design build thing. She is so great at so many things. And then as far as Elevation Orthodontics or me as an orthodontist, you know, I really just want to find a place that I'm comfortable with my team. I'm comfortable with the business side. And I know that I'm doing the community a good service. I don't need anything. I don't need 20 offices. I don't need, you know, my doors being beat down with patients. But what I do want to do is I want to feel successful. I want to feel like, you know, we can do stuff as a staff and really like lean into that family atmosphere and just kind of enjoy my time with whoever I want, whenever I want, as much as I want.
I mean, words to live by. I love that so much. And I love that you you know exactly like who you are, and like, because most people, I think, want growth because they see everybody else like growing to multiple locations. And I think I'm maybe even guilty of it, or I'm like, well, I remember the days when I had one practice, when I had five employees, and it was just me, and I knew every patient who walked in the doors. And now it's like, it's different. It's changing. And yeah, it's, yeah. So that's, I love your, I love where you see yourself and, or stay true to yourself is basically.
But to your point, I mean, we're bombarded with all these successful people on Instagram and all these offices in the dental world. And I get it. Listen, we opened these offices to make money. I mean, they are businesses because we want it to make money. So like, you know, my personal preference is to kind of, you know, stay in this manageable range, right? Because I have a side hustle. So this is not my sole thing. But somebody that this is their sole thing. I get it. I get why you would want to have multiples. I get how you'd want to sell to a venture capitalist group in 6 years and make $20 million. I understand all of those things, and I'm not knocking them at all. I think that you should figure out whatever works best for you, and then crush it and just go after it with all your might.
No. Yeah, absolutely. Amen to that. Are you like looking back at the last, has it been 5 years, four years? I can't, what year are we?
Practice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 2024,
this would be
right?
Five. This would be five.
It'll be five years. Looking back at the last 5 years, is there anything that you would have changed if you could?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I think that I made all the wrong moves whenever I started. There's so many things that I would do. I would focus a lot on cash flow early on in my practice. I didn't realize the value of cash flow. But if you have good cash flow, you can do anything that you need to do, right? So let's say you have really good cash flow. You can hire more people that make your life easier, theoretically. you could do more marketing, which brings more patients in, right? You can expand. You can go on more vacations. You can do all these things. So cash flow is very important. It took me actually a long time to understand, like, that is the metric that I need to be looking at, is the cash flow. And so that's something, like, if I just use one point of failure, that was it for me. It was not appreciating the value of cash flow.
Cash is king. They aren't lying.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. So what is it? What other advice, or if do you have any other advice for someone who is dreaming about doing a startup, ortho startup?
Yeah, I think that. So listen, I know I keep saying that business is hard. Anything that's worth having is hard. I don't care. You know, you see, like I said, you see all these people make being successful and, you know, even if it's in real estate and they have multiple places, that stuff's hard too. Like, it's not easy. They make it look easy because they become good at it. Do it. This is a great time to put your stamp on this profession or dentistry in general. You know, there's no better time than now. I promise you, waiting never helps. If you wait, someone else moves in, then you have to go find another location. You have to go try even harder to win that area. And then my other suggestion is, once you become successful, don't forget that you were the humble guy at the beginning, or girl. I'm just in general. Just know that, listen, however good you think you are, you at one point were a dental student. You at one point were the person that didn't know anything. So don't ever be mean to your reps. Don't ever be mean to your staff, because they're learning just as much as you are.
Yes, absolutely. And I do want to ask you about any upcoming projects that you have in the pipeline.
So the construction-wise, there's so many. There's actually some really fun ones that I think that, as a viewer, I'd want to see. There's some people that are, I think your viewers and everybody will recognize. I think that those are the really fun ones, because you get to do a deep dive into maybe some of these country music singers or athletes, which is really fun to see, their homes getting transformed as well. But then as far as elevation, every day, what I really try to do is I try to get 1% better. We really just try to focus on being a little bit better each day, and that accumulative effect will get us to great. And then we pride ourselves on being thankful and an attitude of gratitude, that we get a chance to change people's perspective of who should get orthodontic treatment. And yes, it's hard, but it is very rewarding and very, very amazing once you can see that shift.
I love that attitude of gratitude. I see that all the time. And I mean it's everything. When you're actually grateful for all the blessings that you've received in this life, it really does make all the sucky stuff like worth it. And
Yep.
is Brooks' work or is your workshop finished?
Oh, you know what? I forgot all about that. Oh, thank you so much. That's actually a really huge thing. It's way up there. The workshop is starting to be built out. I mean, we're not finished yet. That's something that we're every Wednesday we kind of release a workshop Wednesday, like recap. And it's kind of documenting the process of this workshop that we're building is for Brooke to create amazing stuff. We've never had a true space for her just to go in and be creative. That's where all of her woodworking tools will be. That's where she'll be able to host classes, which she's so passionate about. Getting a bunch of people together, showing them how to use tools, how to make stuff. And then on top of that, like on literally the next level up, we're gonna have a design studio. So that's gonna be a place that we can bring clients in, and they can look at the finishes, look at the features that we've kind of custom made for this space, and kind of envision them in their own house or in their own build.
That's like my dream. Like I tell everybody I love smile design and I love interior design. And if I could just like design all day, that's all I want to do. And you're
Well,
actually
you
doing
need
it.
to come hang out with us. We'll treat you to some Nashville hot chicken. And you come see us when we get our workshop done.
I may just take you up on that. I've never been to Nashville. I hear it's amazing.
It's wild. Anybody who's not from here absolutely loves it. The people that are from here, we love it in different ways.
Oh, well, I mean, you guys are growing like crazy. Like,
That's right. We're
Nash
growing fast.
Vegas.
That's right. Nash Vegas. It's a bachelorette capital of like the world. It ha if it's not officially, it is the unofficial one, because we have bachelorette parties starting Wednesday and ending Monday. So you got Tuesday as a local to not see the bachelorette parties.
Well, it has been super cool to chat with you for an hour on a Friday. I appreciate your time so much, Bryce. And I mean, he shared with me that they're going on vacation next month. And do you want to tell them where you're going?
Yeah, we're going to Japan. This has been number one on our bucket list, and we're going to Japan, and we're going to go for a while. So I'm excited. Brooke's excited. I cannot wait to take in the culture over there, and I'm going to come back with some design ideas for sure, and hopefully just be renewed and really tackle whatever's in front of me.
I'm so jealous. Like Japan has been on our bucket list for a long time, and just to experience that and like the food, oh, I can't. Like
Yeah.
I'm like
I'll take a
salivating.
bunch of pictures. I'll take a bunch of notes. We can compare, and I'll share them with you.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to see. And hopefully you'll be storying about it, right? Like it'll be on your social media.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's social media is honestly, it's that's that is one of our pain points. We're not very good at it. And I think it's because we're we're so in the moment of doing all the things that we're doing, it's hard for us to remember to capture it. So guys, if you follow us, that would be great. You know, comment, that those are the things that are the most important, right? Is when you have that interaction, because again, we're people, we're just normal people. And so the idea of communicating and having that sense of community is what really drives us.
Okay. So where can people connect with you then? What is your IG handle?
So you can go to Dr. Bryce _, because someone already had Dr. Bryce and I tried to get it, but they wouldn't give it to me. so I have an _ at it, and Bryce is with an I versus a Y. And then there is at Brooke and Bryce. And that's our, you know, our more of our construction one and the cool home renovation type stuff. But listen, reach out to me anyway. If you got questions, if you guys are doing startups and want to know all the wrong things to do, I'm your guy. I've literally made all the mistakes. And the fact that I'm 5 years into this thing and I'm still rocking and rolling, that goes to show that, you know, with a little persistence, even if you make all the wrong decisions, that you can be successful.
Absolutely. It was so fun getting to chat with you, Bryce, and getting to know you. You are just as charming here as you are on television. So I feel like I'm really happy that we got to meet each other, because I've been looking forward to this for a while now. And I hope you have an amazing time. I hope to meet an amazing time in Japan, and hopefully we will get to meet each other in person. And before we hit record or stop, I wanted to, I'll tell you offline, but yeah, guys. So thanks for listening. Reach out to Bryce if you have any questions, or just let him know how awesome he is and how he's doing amazing things in dentistry and the design world. And that is it for today's episode. We will catch you next week. Yeah, thanks again. Take care,
guys.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you. Bye.